Psalm 51. Now, what an amazing book we have. And our focus is on Jesus Christ. It should be. And we talk a lot about Peter and Paul and Moses. Some about Abraham and Abraham, Jacob, Israel. We talk about different people in the Bible. We talk quite a bit about David. And we know that David, according to God, was a man after God's heart. And so you say, well, that means that David was always doing things the way God wanted him. No. David desired to have God's heart as his heart. And that should be our desire. If we thought like God, we'd be productive Christians. Not from the mind, but from the heart. A lot of times we get things in our mind, but we don't quite get them to our heart. And you know, when you're dealing with children, and that's what God's dealing with, when He's dealing with us, amen. He's dealing with three-year-olds sometimes, amen. Sometimes rebellious teens, sometimes people just trying to figure it out, 8 or 9 years old just trying to figure out how to be right. But when you're dealing with kids, it's easy to change their mind about things. You know, a smack on the hand, you know, don't stick that in the plug in. A swat on the rear, don't do that. Don't poke your sister in the eye. Don't do that. Don't poke all your Cheetos down in the seat crack in the back seat there. Whop, you know, that it's easy to change their mind, but it takes time to change their heart. You see, believe it or not, those precious little angels that came from your seed line, they got heart problems. Amen. Just like we all do. But God knows how to change our heart. But David wasn't just waiting around for God to change his heart. He was actually actively going after God, trying to find out how to be more like our Lord. In Psalm 51, beginning in verse number 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee alone have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise." David, a man after God's heart, after messing up in a big way, is crying out to God. And I want to look at about 6, 7, 8 things maybe as we go down through here today. Beginning at verse number 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." The wicked. It's the flesh. David, a man after God's own heart, needed mercy. We need mercy. Because this flesh is wicked. This flesh is bent on doing the wrong thing. this is flesh. This flesh is bent on going against God. We have that first Adam's nature, that sin nature. And this flesh just wants to do wrong. No, I understand that not everybody's flesh wants to do the same wrong things, but everybody's flesh wants to do something wrong. It's wicked. In verse number 2, we see the washing. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. The washing. He's asking God to wash him. He's not saying, Lord, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to donate more. I'm going to go to Cambodia and try to help people get cleaner water. He didn't go through a list of things that he was going to do to be better. He said, Lord, wash me. Because the only way you can be clean is if God cleans you. Amen? Back to the kids. You get a 2-year-old kid, they learn how to take a bath. And they, you know, are you using soap? Are you using water? Are you even in the tub? You know, you just get the towel wet and throw it in the corner. That's for the boys, amen. The girls be in there, you know, floating boats or something. The boys will be back out the yard dirty when they're supposed to be in the bath. But, you know, you gotta clean them up when they're little. Amen. They don't know what they're doing. They can't make themselves clean. You heard they're wet behind the ears. You know, look at your mama, look behind the ears and all that stuff. God has to clean us. And He's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us in this book, which is Spirit to correct us, to direct us. And if we're in the will of God, matching up the words of God to protect us. But that washing only comes from God. You get a lot of peculiar responses when you witness to people. Because you'll talk to people and you'll say, do you know where you're going when you leave this world? And some folks will say, yeah. Well, what are you trusting in? Well, and they'll give you a list of churches they belong to. They'll give you a list of things they've done. Baptismal pools they've been in, works they've done around the world. I was a missionary for 10 years. I went on a missions trip in high school. I did this, I did that, I did the other. And they'll give you some funny answers sometimes, some peculiar answers. It's important to say, yeah, but what are you trusting in to get you in? If God said, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? I'm clean because I went to Haiti? I'm clean because I go to church. I'm clean because I've had water baptism and I got a certificate to prove it. No. I'm clean through the blood of Christ. I've called on Jesus Christ, trusting Him and His righteousness. Because dirty things don't make it to heaven. Amen. We're cleaned up because God cleans us up. The wicked, the washing. There was a willingness in verse number 3 through 6. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. To acknowledge his transgression and his sin. That's why I believe a lot of people say they're going to heaven and they're going to burn in hell because they've never acknowledged their transgression and their sin. I've talked to people that said, I talked to a fellow the other day. I said, do you believe you're a sinner? He goes, not anymore. I used to be. I said, why aren't you now? He goes, I quit doing that stuff. See, he wasn't clean because he'd never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I said, look, the thing is that I'm thankful that people try to do better. That's what I tell him. That's good. But God still sees you as a sinner. When God looks at you, even though you're not doing the things you were doing 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago, you're still a sinner. The only way you are not a sinner in the eyes of Holy Father God is by getting your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ, by calling out to Him and saying, look, I know I deserve hell. I'm going to trust you and you alone. You finished it on Calvary. You rose from the grave. I believe that. I'm just, forgive me and save me. You're clean. You're good. Now here, we're sinners saved by grace, but God the Father doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. But the guy said, yeah, that makes sense. David acknowledged his sin. He acknowledged his transgression. There's a danger in saying, well, I'm saved, so I'm good. Well, you are eternally. But what about the sin you've committed since salvation? What about the one you struggled with this week? What about the one on the way to church? What about the one that you went to bed thinking about last night? What about the one the Lord woke you up in the middle of the night about that you didn't pray about and read your Bible about? What about that sin? David was God's man and he acknowledged his sin. He was willing to acknowledge when he was wrong. Amen. David didn't have any Pharisee in him at all. Amen. He knew who he was and he wanted to be like God instead. He was willing to acknowledge his transgression, his sin. Look at verse 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He acknowledged, he was willing to acknowledge God's authority. That's a big problem in the world today. Nobody wants authority. Nobody wants to be under anybody's authority. I just want to be my own man, or they want to be their own woman, or whatever. I just want to be free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is, you're a sinner. You sinned against God, and you need to trust Christ your Savior, and then you need to try to live right, keep a short account with God, and try to glorify Him with your life. That's the truth. David acknowledged his sin. He was willing to do that. He was willing to acknowledge God's authority. He knew that one day God would judge what he had done. Amen. And there's a whole world full of people out there that will tell you something like this. Well, I just don't believe a loving God would do that to us. I don't believe a loving God would throw us into hell. Well, how about a righteous and holy God that has to keep His Word, that has to judge? And you can either be judged with your sin on Calvary, or you can be judged eternally in a lake of fire. Amen. But David acknowledged his transgression. He acknowledged God's authority. Look at verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He acknowledged man's hopelessness without God. He said, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin, my mother conceived me. You know what David realized? That he was born in the image and with the nature of that first Adam. But he didn't want to be like the first Adam. He didn't want to be like David. He wanted to be like the Lord. Hey, look, if you want to be like the Lord, you have to be willing to acknowledge some things. That you are guilty. I'm not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. If you've trusted Christ, praise God, He sealed you for that. That He is the authority. He decides when you're not guilty. He's the judge. David realized that. And you're hopeless without God. Look at verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. He was willing to acknowledge his transgression, God's authority, man's hopelessness, and he was willing to acknowledge God's desire for man. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. God did not save us to impress the world. God did not save us so we could put a suit on Sunday and we could go into church and the world say, look at them, they are cleaned up. God saved us so we could grow to be more like Jesus Christ and the world would see there's something in us that's showing up out of us that they need. They can work hard. They can buy a suit. They can get cleaned up. They can drive a nice car. They can do good works. His desire is for you and I to be clean on the inside. On the inside. Anybody can make a decision up here to go to church and be regular in church. God wants you to be clean on the inside. I'm telling you, you know, and I do. I want to always preface this by saying this. I believe the Lord has blessed me to be able to pastor a good church. I do believe that. But I also know that we're human beings. And we're all prone to wander and prone to sin. And I also realized by the grace of God over the last almost 3 years now that if God's going to do what He wants to do here, you need to be clean. And so do I on the inside. Or we can impress the people next door by the car we drive. We can impress the people at the church down the road by the suit you wear. But what impresses God? What is His desire for you? He wants you to be clean on the inside. David acknowledged that. He was willing to acknowledge that. The wicked, the washing, the willingness. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We see the way to be clean. First of all, for eternal cleanness, to be saved. And then second of all, to be clean here on this earth, to be usable of God the way He wants to use you. That hyssop was what they used to strike that blood on the doorpost. If you're going to be clean, if you're going to be clean enough to get to heaven, I mean, you can load your wagon up with whatever you think you're loading it up with and go to hell, but if you haven't trusted that blood on the doorpost, if you haven't trusted that spotless Lamb of God, you'll burn in hell forever. And if you're some kind of turning over the new leaf that you're going to do in your mind to get yourself to be usable of God, you're wasting His time. If you want to be clean, you're going to have to get it under the blood. You want to be saved, you have to get it under the blood. You want to be clean on the inside, you have to get your sins under the blood. Leave them at the altar. You know what problem with most people have in 2021? They'll go to the altar sometimes, and they got this death grip on this sin, and they're begging and asking God, challenging Him almost, can you pry this loose for me? But they're not willing to just leave it and turn around and walk off. They just want another day to sin some more. Oh, Lord, be merciful. And He is merciful. But what He wants you to do is He wants you to lay that sin down and walk off from it. He doesn't want you to keep hanging on to it. We got my daughter and son-in-law, they got this dog. And he's got this new version of fetch. And what it is you throw it, he gets it, and then you try to fetch it from him for 20 minutes. Amen. And then he lays it down and you get it. And he's like, I'm tired now because I've been trying to get you to fetch. He's trying to train you. Amen. Trying to get Him to let go of that. That's what God's doing with us. He says, let go. You know what He'll do if you let go of your sin and you turn around? He'll take that thing and He'll throw it as far as east is from west. He'll bury it in the bottom of the sea of forgetfulness and it's gone. But just like that dog, half of us, we got something going on and we struggle just to turn loose of it and let go and turn around and walk off. David knew where he stood with God. The way is to get it under the blood. Look at verse 8. David's wish. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He wanted joy and gladness. You know what will give you true joy and gladness? Being in the will of God. Being the will of God. You know, a lot of folks can't witness continually because they're out of the will of God and they're trying to do it and they don't have any strength. They're so disappointed when somebody rejects Jesus Christ. They take it so personally because it's more about them than it is the Lord. We do that. Oh, well, they don't want what I have. They don't know what you have. They think you got something from 2020 still. Amen. You look like you're not spiritually well and you're going up trying to tell somebody how to get spiritually well. Get clean. Be clean. Get it under the blood. David's wish was to have that joy and that gladness. You know why he's wishing that? Because it left him. I remember when I first got saved, God was so merciful to me. I mean, I'm still a knucklehead. He knows that. That's still how He addresses me most of the time. Knucklehead, amen. But He was so good to me, and just things just worked out. I almost couldn't help but be fruitful. But you know, after a while, I got to where I was depending more on me than I was on Him. You ever done that? And you know what happened? I'm looking around wondering where my joy went. Wondering where my gladness went. And I asked a preacher this. I said, how do you get back to where you were? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, when I first got saved, I mean, I was just on automatic pilot. Like, I prayed. I trusted God. I wanted to please Him. I wanted more from His Word. I wanted to learn more about Him. I didn't want to be me. I wanted to be Him. He shook his head. He said, I'm not sure you ever get back to that point. And I thought, man, that hurt. I wanted to be back there again. And I believe that preacher is a good man that loved the Lord, that walked with the Lord, that had a good relationship with the Lord. But I believe after almost 40 years of counseling people, he shook his head and said, people, most of the time, they don't make it back. Amen? David wanted to be back there. He wanted that joy. He wanted that gladness of being in the will of God. Look at verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquity. His wish was to have joy and gladness again. His wish was to be forgiven. If you just cry out to God, whatever that sin is, let go of it, turn from it, cry out to God, ask for forgiveness. Then you get to verse number 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David wished to be forgiven and he wished to be clean. I remember when I got saved, in the middle of the night, it was me and the Lord, this little shag carpet, this little shotgun house in St. Joe, Missouri. And I remember getting up after I had messed up years and years and years of my life. And for the first time in my entire life, I was clean. I didn't feel clean. I was clean. There was something that happened to me that night that it did not matter what was going on anywhere. I was good. Amen? David wanted that. Wouldn't it be good to have that on a daily basis? That's a place that you have no excuse but to live there. We have the opportunity to live there. To abide in that joy and gladness, to have that right, to have that cleanness, because He's offering it to us on a regular basis. Last part of verse 10, it says, and renew a right spirit with Him. He wanted to be clean and He wanted to be right. You know what right means? Forget the world. That means God looks down and said, I am pleased with what you have done. I am pleased with what you are doing. I am pleased with where you are going. I am pleased with the direction your heart is headed. I am pleased with you. That's being right. It's not what box you checked at election day. Amen. It's when God looks down and He says, you're right. We talked about this before. I'll tell you again. I think this is important. You ought to pray and ask God what He wants from you in every avenue of your life. Amen. Doesn't matter what I want. Doesn't matter. I mean, it does to an extent what your spouse wants from you, especially if they're saved. Amen? But what's God want? What's God want? He wants you to be clean. He wants people to look at you and see somebody like David that has a desire to be like Jesus Christ. That's what He wants. You know what He wants for your family? He wants you, whether you're a mom, a dad, an aunt, an uncle, a grandma, a grandpa, a cousin, or whatever, He wants you to ask Him to guide your steps so you can be a good example to somebody else. From the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way you act, the way you react, the way you pray, the way you study your Bible. I'm a blessed man. I'm going to tell you something. My grandma, God bless me with a wonderful grandma. But you know what I remember about her more than anything? She always prayed and read her Bible. And right close behind that is she was always thankful for everything God given her. The sunset, the birds singing, the flowers, the snow. She didn't have anything to complain about. This woman couldn't reach above here. Her fingers wouldn't straighten out. How you doing, Grandma? Oh, the Lord give me a beautiful sunset. The Lord's been good to me. And I got a wife that my kids say, all my life, I remember you reading your Bible. Hey, look, when you draw your last bitter breath, what are people going to remember about you? My grandma's went on to be with Jesus Christ, but she's left memories that make an eternal difference on people behind her. Amen? You know, your kids, your grandkids, your nieces and nephews ought to be able to say, if they spend any time with you at all, they ought to be able to say, you know what? My aunt so-and-so, my uncle so-and-so, my grandma, my grandpa, they really love the Lord. They're serious. They're really saved people that really want to do right. They actually read their Bible. They actually pray, and they pray for us. And God looked down at you and He said, you're right. Not like you're debating God and He's convinced that you're right. He's looking down and saying, you're matching up with my word. You're right. David said, I want to be right. David was a man after God's heart. You know what God is? He's always right. Look at verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, look, we're different dispensations. I understand that we don't lose the Holy Spirit when you're saved. But if you remember the Old Testament, David had seen the Spirit of God move on Saul, move off Saul. And David had messed up majorly and he didn't want to be Saul. David wanted to be Jesus. He didn't want to be Saul. Amen. He wanted to be like God, not like Saul. And you can certainly grieve and quench the Spirit and still be saved and sealed. Saved, sealed, and sanctified, or saved, sealed, and miserable. Amen. I know you're set apart for a purpose, but are we living that purpose? That's where David wanted to be. He said, I wish to be joyful and have gladness. I wish to be forgiven. I wish to be clean. I wish, my desire is to be right. Verse 11, again, cast me not away from thy presence. He wanted to restore his fellowship with God. You see, when I asked that preacher that time, I said, you know, how do you get back to where you were? I was aiming for joy, but I was off the mark because what I was missing that brought me out of joy was fellowship. I didn't have a fellowship, and I was just goofy enough to think that maybe the joy might come somewhere else, but that's where it comes from, is fellowship. David said, don't take your spirit from me. Don't cast me away. Don't turn from me. And then I've realized since then, when I'm in fellowship, I'm back to where I was. Amen? You know why they write songs like We're Prone to Wonder? Because we're prone to wonder. But oh man, when you're in fellowship and you've got that joy and that peace, but you only get it by being clean and being right with God. I joke with my kids. I say, one thing about your mom, she's always right. Amen. She's saved, and I'm saved. The Lord's always right, and if we're seeking His will, we're headed the right direction. We joke about stuff like that, but we need to be right with God. You see the difference, and I'm not kicking any of the church. I don't pastor any of the church. But the difference between a church that God uses, a church that God doesn't use, and a church that God uses the way He wants to use it, is the people in the church being right. Oh, He'll use us. He'll use us. If we're showing up and we're singing praises to Him, but He won't be able to or willing to use us the way He wants to use us until we all desire to have the heart that David had that sought after God. I want to be right. I want you to be right. I got enough on my plate with me. So God didn't give me your will. He gave it to you. Amen. And when you get to where you want to be right, and I want to be right, and we have these wishes that David had, God's going to do something. Amazing. Verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David desired to have joy and gladness, to be forgiven, to be clean, to be right, to restore fellowship and renew joy. Now, I know we listed joy twice, but see, he didn't just want joy. He wanted the joy of God's salvation. I mean, the joy when I first got saved, That's where I want to live. Amen? He wanted not just joy, he wanted the amazing joy that God gives you when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you realize you're clean. You could have that today. I'm not talking about getting saved again. If you're not saved, you could have it today by getting saved. Just call on Jesus Christ. But as saved folks, you can have that today. That's not something that's out of God's will or out of God's reach. Is his arm shortened that he cannot? I mean, where do we need to go here? It's up to us. You can have that today. By getting things right with God. Look at verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. We see the work. To be an effective tool for the Lord. You got to be clean. I like to garden sometimes. I'm not as good as I used to be. I guess it's got more things going on. But one thing that drives me nuts is leaving a shovel or something dirty. I go scrape it in the gravel and knock it off. I don't want chunks of dirt all over the shovel when I go to dig again. It makes it harder to dig. It's just not appealing to me. It's not something I look forward to, going using a dirty shovel. And God doesn't look forward to trying to use dirty tools. And we're tools for Him. If anything happens that's good in our lives, and anything that's going to be eternal, He's going to reach down with His hand and He's going to guide you and direct you and use you like a tool. And the shovel, the rake, whatever, the postal diggers, they don't get the credit for the job. The one running them does. They got to be clean if they're going to work right. Look at 14 and 15. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. We see the worship. Now, a lot of folks claim to worship. They do. I get people calling me all the time. And honestly, some of them I should have witnessed to, and I didn't, but I get people calling me all the time. We want to talk to your worship leader. Where's he at? I said, well, I guess that's me. Well, we got, you need any amplifiers or electric guitars or any of this stuff? I said, no, we don't. What we need is for us to be clean so we can try to glorify our Savior. We don't need to add things in for the flesh. We got plenty of that problem, amen? There are a lot of people that claim to worship. This book says God's a spirit. If you worship Him, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen? Worship is not, it's not something that makes us feel good and dissatisfies the flesh and gives us a feeling that we leave at the door when we leave. Worship is a realization that we are hopeless and helpless without Him, and He is everything. And all we want to do is please Him. That's worship. It has nothing to do with this. Yes. It has everything to do with Him. And David realized that. Isn't it interesting the way God words things? He says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. You know what that tells me? David knew when to keep his mouth shut. Amen? He's asking God to open his lips and praise to come out. He wanted to please God. He wanted to praise God. He wanted to be right with God. He wanted to be clean. He wanted to be used of God. He wanted everything to come out of his mouth for God to be able to say, you're right. That is right. How can you go wrong? Praise the Lord. God is good. He's awesome. It's all because of the Lord. He's been so good to me. That's all right. You can't go wrong taking your first fruits, making sure that you don't waste what He's given you, but you invest what He's given you back into Him and glorifying Him. You can't go wrong. There's not one time you're going to go praise the Lord from the heart and Him say, hey, you're wrong. How many other things do we do and say that are wrong? David said, open my mouth and I'll praise you. I'll praise you. thing about worship, and we talk about, you know, I'm not just because somebody doesn't believe exactly what we believe about certain things, God does not put clear lines down on everything. He leaves room for you to grow with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. So some people have a little bit different standards and ideas. But if you're in God's will and you're following His Spirit, you're going to know what's right and wrong. Amen. You're going to follow some spirit in this world. The Holy Spirit, and there's a whole bunch of unholy spirits out there. But true worship comes from, and this before I say this, this right here is why I believe that most people don't truly worship God. Most churches, if somebody's not preaching to them that they need to get right, they're not going to be able to worship God. Because true worship comes from a clean heart. It does. True worship. Christ-honoring worship, the way He expects it, comes from a clean heart. It does. It doesn't come from some fleshly outward thing. It comes from something inside that's clean. It's the heart. It's the heart. Like I said before, you should be able to stand in the mirror in the morning and say, Lord, does what I'm wearing please You? And the Lord tell you, yeah. Amen? And if you're male or female and it's tight enough you can read your DNA sequence to it, let me tell you something. Don't even waste your time going to the mirror. Because that's about you. That's not about Him. Amen? Does this please You, Lord? What you listen to, what you watch, what you read, where you go. Does this please You, Lord? Oh, I just want to be pleasing to the preacher. No. You know what would please me? If you just please the Lord. It'd please me if I pleased Him all the time, amen? But if you get to where you can ask Him about every aspect of your life, does this please You? So that seems kind of overboard. Well, not really. When you realize who God really is and what He's really done for you, it seems like a small thing to say, Lord, I want to say what pleases You. I want to listen to what pleases You. I want to go places that are pleasing to You. I want to act and react in a way that pleases You. I want my heart right with You. People put a lot more effort into learning a sport or a hobby than they put into serving the Lord. It's true. I mean, people will pay thousands and thousands of dollars to learn how to choke somebody out, man hug, wrestling, and they won't put 10 minutes into getting closer to the Lord. And He's worthy. And honestly, if you're walking with the Lord, He's big enough to choke somebody out for you. You don't have to. Amen. You save all that money and send it to Zimbabwe to start a new whale. Whale. Hillbilly. Well, W-E-L-L. But you can save that money and do that, and God will protect you. True worship comes from a clean heart. It's all about the heart. It really is. And people might say, well, I don't know if I believe that. It is. It's all about the heart. Everybody in here has a heart condition. Amen. So the question is, what condition is your heart in? It's in some condition. Is it right with God? I didn't ask you if you, in your mind, you had the ideas and you were right with God in your mind on what you're thinking right now. I'm asking, is your heart right with God? When you walk out this door this morning, and the guy with the backpack that doesn't know where he's at pulls that backpack off your hood and leaves a 4-inch scratch, tell me where your heart is. When you get out on 70, going to eat lunch, because, you know, lunch is more important than anything after the Baptist church meeting, and somebody cuts you off, is your heart right with God? When the telemarketers call, amen. I found out the hard way that my heart's not always right with God. Is it right with God? Turn to Jeremiah 17. It's 10 after 12. You all probably make it to lunch at 3, right? Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 17. The heart is deceitful, verse 9, above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then he answers the question. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God knows your heart. And if you're reading your Bible, you know it too. Because that's how he tells you. He knows whether you know it or not. But if you open this God's Chilton Manual on the heart here, amen, he'll tell you whether it's right or not. Because we are not prone to know without getting in the book. He'll tell you. It's all about the heart. Psalm 14, the Bible says, "For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Isn't that something? Romans 10:9 talks about confessing. Talks about believing in your heart. Because with the heart... Amen. Look at Romans 10:9. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all about the heart. Salvation is about the heart. Salvation is not changing your mind. It's about God convicting your heart, and in your heart you're going, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that God died for me on Calvary and rose again, and I'm going to ask him, and I believe he'll save me, and calling on him and asking him to forgive you and save you. It's the heart. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. You know what Luke 6:45 says? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It's about your heart. James 3:10, out of the same mouth, remember the mouth, it's showing your heart. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to so to be. It's your heart. Look at Ezekiel 36. I'm almost done. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Let's look at, start in verse 22. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Now, right there, he's going to show mercy, not because of Israel, but because of his name's sake. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. Talking about his people out in the world, among the heathen, being in Egypt, acting like Egypt, talking like Egypt, profaning his name in Egypt. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. He just told Israel, I'm going to take you out from among the heathen, bring you into your own land, and I'm going to give you a new heart. We're not Israel. We didn't replace Israel. This church is God taking you out of the world, bringing us together inside these walls as saved believers so He can give you and I a clean heart. So I just don't believe church is that important. Oh, but it is. He doesn't have a land on this earth that He's going to take Christians to and make them clean. He calls you to be in a church house under the washing of the water by the Word so He can give you a new heart and a right spirit. So when you go back out these doors, there'll be a difference. If you change your mind, you're going to go back outside these doors and you're going to end up being just like the world. But when you get your heart right, that's when He'll be glorified. It's your heart. How's your heart today? I'm not asking you if you belong to this church. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you know where you're going when you die. I'm asking you where your heart is. What condition is your heart in? Hey, look. You don't have to do it, but you come to this altar right beside me here in just a minute as a church, and you can ask God to show you where you're wrong. And you can leave your sin at this altar and walk out of this place with a clean heart. Or you can have that death grip on it and just drag it around with you all week. I want to be clean. I want to be right with God. I'm not going to play any music, but I am going to ask you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How's your heart? How's your heart? How serious are you about serving the Lord? I'm not talking about just being saved and, oh, I'm happy I'm going to heaven. That's great. But how serious are you about being right with God? Heads bowed and eyes closed.